This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC. The
Score. This hour is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
We're very early in the season, and this season, as you know, is going to have ups and downs inevitably. There's going to be some valleys. There's going to be mountaintops. We got a really special club. We got a really special ball club. We believe in ourselves, and I think that's extremely important. You know, we're very present in that. We're really grateful to have some great leaders in Craig and the staff that are guiding us, and we're ready to just go compete today, and that's what matters. So I'm excited about what's ahead.
The Score Midday Show, 10 to 2 on 670 The Score.
That was Matt Boyd on the Midday. Well, no, he wasn't on with us, the Midday Show.
Inside the clubhouse.
Yeah, and Matt Boyd, that's the second interview he's done with The Score. He was also on with the afternoon show. And I have appreciated the Matt Boyd interview experience.
His interview on Inside the Clubhouse is definitely must-listen. Get into the Odyssey app. Go find the show. Go to the chapter where they interview him. I was listening to it out in Naperville because, you know, that's where I spent my Saturday. And I was like, okay.
Go to the Topgolf?
This guy is giving me life. No, but I didn't even know there was a Topgolf. But then I recognized, you know, the screen. And like, oh, there's a Topgolf over there because you could see it from far away.
Did you leave any, weapons in your car?
Oh, is that the Topgolf
yes,
that we're always talking about?
Yes.
I didn't even put two and two
yes.
together.
What?
I didn't even put
no,
two and two.
No, the other Topgolf?
I don't know how many Topgolfs
how
there are around here. It's a major metropolitan area.
Do you know how much land it's required to have a Topgolf?
There was a Topgolf in Huntsville, Alabama before there was a Topgolf in Naperville. I promise you that.
That's my point. Yeah. Much land is required.
Much land is required. We got plenty of that down
south. So you think, right, but not here. So you think they just are around?
I didn't know if there was one out west, one down south, one up north.
You know. Went to the star of our show. You went, and not Marshall's not the star, and I'm not the star. No. The Topgolf Naperville is the star of our show.
Is it
and you
the Topgolf
didn't even pay
Naperville,
homage?
Or is it the Topgolf Naperville police reports? That are the stars.
That's not the point. Like, you didn't pick,
okay,
like,
my bad. I messed up. You're right. I should have put two and two together. I did not.
It's like going to Mecca and not going to Mecca.
Listen, man. I was hanging out in downtown Naperville at a little wine shop going to a wedding.
I've heard their downtown is nice.
Shout out to my boy, Jamal.
I want to go, actually.
His beautiful bride, Akenna.
Yes, Jamal. Congratulations.
Yeah, yeah. Good times out in Naperville. Spent all day there.
You went to the Naperville Topgolf and you didn't...
No. I could see the Naperville Topgolf off in the distance. It was probably at least a mile away, but the nets are so tall.
You should have gone there to the parking lot and taken a picture of yourself.
I don't want to get pulled over. It sounds like it's high risk activity going on in the... parking lot at the Topgolf.
Somebody go to the Naperville Topgolf and take a picture because Marshall didn't.
Speaking of high risk, speaking of high odds that something's going to happen, the Cubs looking like a World Series winner, according to Baseball Reference.
Baseball Reference is loving the Cubs' performance so far this month. You know, the one that we were stressed out about, the month of April. Hell Week continues, by the way, with the Dodgers tonight. You know that. That game you can listen to right here on The Score, BT Dubs. That's a home game. 6:40, a first pitch, so that's fun. Getting back to the numbers from Baseball Reference, we know the Cubs are 14-10 through 24 games, top of the NL Central, but the excerpt is this. MLB playoff odds are based on 1,000 simulations of the rest of the season and the playoffs. The team's estimated quality is determined by their performance over their last 100 regular season games, even if it spans seasons, and includes a regression to the mean factor. What does that mean? It means it tries to control for variables. What do they come up with, you ask? Baseball Reference right now has the Cubs as the highest percent chance to win the World Series at 17.6%.
Well, that's actually gone down, 16.7%. I'm looking at this morning's updated ranking. So,
oh, yeah, I'm looking at yesterday's, and that's a better number at 235, but that's not the point. The point is they're still the highest.
They are the highest. The next highest team, this might shock people, the Detroit Tigers at 14%.
See, that's where it changed in the past few hours.
So
it was the Padres at 13.7 yesterday.
So it's great because in this table that they give you on Baseball Reference, right? They'll also tell you what the change was a day ago, 7 days ago, and 30 days ago, aka the beginning of the season, right? So the percent chance for the Cubs to get to the playoffs has gone up 33.7%, which is the largest outside of the Detroit Tigers' chances, which have gone up 37.1%. That's to make the playoffs.
Imagine if they had Alex Bregman.
Imagine if they didn't go 0-2 in Japan.
Oh, I was talking about the Tigers having Alex Bregman because they were supposedly the runner second up. Team. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's tough.
And then my list has because this is 235 yesterday, my list has the Diamondbacks at 9.5, Yankees at 9.5, Mariners at 6.9, Astros at 6.4, Giants at 4.5.
So the updated winning the World Series, the Padres now at 13.2%. The next highest odds, Detroit Tigers leading the American League at 14%, which is kind of crazy when you think about it. They're 13-8 this season. They must have played a pretty tough schedule so far. And then in the National League, the Padres 13.2%. You mentioned the Diamondbacks now 9.9%. Everybody else has got lower odds. Although the Astros at 7.7% to be noted.
And I think the important part to note here is that normally you don't care about this on April 22nd, but given the Cubs' performance against some of the best teams in baseball, having the toughest schedule of any team so far, and then having the easiest schedule from here on out, those are good numbers. I wonder how they factor in the lack of Justin Steele for the rest of the way of the season. Is that something that they can put into that? Probably not, because it's based on numbers and previous data. But the reason for all of this is because they've got the best offense.
Scoring 6 runs per game. Don't know if that'll hold up specifically, the 6 runs per game, but they are leading Major League Baseball in runs per contest. And they're doing it even though you could say some of the players that you thought would be doing more aren't doing more. They've already had to send down their starting third base, their opening day third baseman. They've already had to send him down. Dansby Swanson's not giving you a whole lot at shortstop right now. But the young players are doing big things, whether that's Miguel Amaya, Pete Crow Armstrong, obviously Michael Bush in that cleanup spot, even though occasionally he will be pinch hit for in the cleanup spot, which is not something that most of us see as normal. But let's be honest, it's working right now. So much, in fact, that the Cubs... Here you go. So, like, there's the least 10% and the highest 10% of odds of what's going to happen. The lowest is they'll only get 87 wins. The highest is they'll get 106 wins.
I am skeptical about that just because their expected record in 2 years where they could have made the playoffs was lower than what it was supposed to be. One of those was an 83-win season. I don't know. It seems like when the expectation is there, They've unfortunately played lower than that via the record outcome.
I'll say this. It seems to me like they have exceeded expectations so far.
Well, I mean, if you think about it this way, Pecota had them projected at 90.5. Baseball Reference now projects it at 97 wins. That's where it gets wild. And again, I know we talked about just the generic offensive number. It's so much more than that, though. It's the extra base hits, for example. It's combining that with how much this team walks. It's the diversified lineup where you have people who can hit now up and down the lineup 1 through 9. But if you thought what you were seeing was good, this is an excellent example of how good they truly can be. So, that's the wild part, too, is 97 wins, that means that they'll have 83 more in addition from today. That's the part where it's mind-blowing.
But is it mind-blowing when you think about all the teams they've played? We know they're opening up a two-game set with the Dodgers. After they see the Dodgers, and again, Shota Imanaga is going on the mound today, so that you feel pretty good about how tonight's game should go, could go, however you want to put it, right?
Well, it's, I mean, it's still the Dodgers.
Yeah, no, it is. You're absolutely right, and he's already faced them before, and he did okay because he didn't give up any
batters.
Yeah, but how many hits did he give up?
Well, zero, but he got pulled because it was, you know, March 3rd or something. It wasn't March 3rd, but you know what I mean.
It was very early. So, bottom line is, they're predicted to get 97 wins, as you said, right now, and that's the most of any team. They don't play in the NL West. Not only do they not play in the NL West, they're almost done dealing with the NL West. And that's the best part of this, is that we worried about them getting through this first month plus through the end of April and having some battle scars. But right now, they've come out on top. They're 14-10. They've already faced the Dodgers, the Giants, and Dodgers Diamondbacks and the Padres a great deal. So much so, they don't see San Diego or Arizona anymore in the regular season. And after tomorrow, they won't see Los Angeles anymore in the regular season. But
yeah,
you know what? They will get to see the Rockies, who are 4-17 on a couple of series.
I know we've talked about that. I think the better question becomes, when we try to move this forward, you said that 14-17 was okay for you.
Yeah. Tough schedule.
So now that you know they're 14-10, losing seven straight is not okay.
It's definitely
so
not okay.
So how do you readjust what you were saying previously? How's your expectation changed with these last seven games in this stretch?
If they can win three of the next seven, I'm cool. But really not, because four of seven, because they're at home, and so the home thing matters. You know, like, to play eight in a row at home, that you should be able to come away with at least five out of eight wins in that.
Five out of eight wins. So now you're talking 19 wins out of that stretch.
Well, we're already into that stretch a little bit because they played over the weekend. So of the five games left, and then two against the Pirates, right? Yeah. That's how it goes. Dodgers.
I got the schedule right here. It's two against the Dodgers. That's tonight on the Score, 6:40 and 6. Then you have a day off. Then you have the Phillies for three. And then you get into the Pirates game. And I wish that I could say, like, the Pirates games are automatic.
Oh, they got to see Skeens.
But it's not just that. It's that they didn't have these games on lock last season by any means. Part of the reason they missed the playoffs.
I think the Pirates are worse this year than they were last year. Their offense is atrocious. I'll start with that. But I'll say the real series is the Phillies series. The Phillies have been playing well.
The real series after the Dodger series is the Phillies series?
Yeah, because it's a three-game set.
Yeah, that's fair. So, and it's at home, which is nice.
Yeah, so handle your business. Because, again, you only got to see the Phillies a couple of times, too. That's the thing. These other teams, these non-division teams, get them all out of the way and then get into the heart of your division schedule and rack up on those 13 games you face against in-division opponents.
Craig Counsell says the schedule is, everybody's playing the same schedule, but they're still not, because there's still more games against division opponents. This segment is brought to you by almostfreeteeth.com. Save on dental implants today. I think the better question here is, as we look at this data, and we know the Cubs are right now at the top of the league or near the top in every offensive category you desire. It becomes, is this sustainable? 97 wins is a good reflection of the progress that they have made so far. Is it, however, accurate based on what we know could happen?
Yep.
I think the problem is there's too much issue when it comes to starting pitching, you know, especially when a lot of these guys are leaving so early in games. Four innings is not going to cut it. That's not sustainable for an entire season. We've talked a lot about the Cubs' issues when it comes to the bullpen already. The indication that I think is one of the biggest stats where you could say, you can look at this and it is valid, is what they've done on the last days of series. You know, that's been just as concerning as anything. For example, they're 0-3 in series finales at Wrigley. That's not a coincidence. That shows their lack of pitching depth and what happens on the third day of a series when the bullpen is overused. That's how you get away from a 97-win comp.
I would argue that is a small sample size still, three games at Wrigley. I understand the premise, though, because you're saying it's the last series of games and the pitching's too worn out.
That's been the issue, though, is the last game of these series, the bullpen, you don't necessarily know who's going to go.
True, on the one hand, but, like, let's take the most recent series finale. It's not like the bullpen was bad in that series. It just there wasn't enough offense.
But if guys are only going 4 and 5, then by the time you get to Sunday, you're using an average of like 5 pitchers a day. That's going to affect you on that last day of the series.
Yeah, but I think all teams deal with those issues. In 2025, most teams deal with that being an issue.
Right. Now, it's just other teams trade for a guy at the deadline, or they have more bullpen arms to rotate in and out, or they have more people in their circle of trust.
Well, that's why I think that the 97 wins thing is far from off the table, is because, you know, they just made a trade yesterday. Now, I don't know what Drew Pomeranz is going to bring at age 36 and pitching in AAA to the Cubs specifically. I can't tell you that. He's going to start in Iowa, apparently, which makes me wonder who actually is getting called up for Jordan Wicks, who just got sent down, who did not have the greatest of showings in his brief stint.
But and that's the your point, too.
But
yeah.
I think they can rotate through that, make deals as they become available, and I think they will, even if the offense falls off somewhat. Javier Assad's making another start today, right? And he's going to be somebody who has shown in the past to be able to help at the major league level. They have guys. One thing I said before the season started is it seems like they are stockpiling guys. Now, the quality of the guys they're stockpiling, that can come into question. But at least they are making an effort and recognizing this is a problem. This is a place where we are not up to snuff, per se. And I want to see what happens going forward with those moves from here to AAA and also externally outside the organization.
Ways that the Cubs can keep the 97 win projection solid. Number one, you have to stay hitting at this rate, which is cool. Number two, if Dansby Swanson hits better, which you likely think that's going to happen, that will help because that's another spot in the lineup that is producing. Steal bases like they need to, which has been a manufacturing offense that has helped them. It's the bullpen to me on those third days of series where this, if you know the miles are already happening, that's what makes an extrapolation like this very difficult.
I have some good news on the whole third thing. First of all, they need more production at third base as well. That's first of all. Second of all, best news about the series is there's no third game. Get another day off. Everybody will be nicely rested for the Phillies after 2 off days in 4 days.
There's somebody that I would like to ask about how off days during the week affect him. It's Ian Happ. The Cubs outfielder joins us for his weekly visit next here on the Midday Show on The Score. Marshall Harris, Layla Rahimi, and you.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The talent that's here and the talent that is continuing to develop here. We obviously have some mainstay guys like Ian Happ.
Ian Happ, Cubs all-star outfielder.
Happ drives one in the air to right field. Back goes Carroll. That ball is gone! Ian Happ with a grand slam, and the Cubs lead 6-1.
Gold Glove Award winner.
Line toward left center, toward the gap, on the run. Happ makes a sliding catch. Excellent play by Ian Happ.
Host of the Compound Podcast, Connect Roasters coffee enthusiast.
We toast you, Ian Happ.
Ian Happ on 670 The Score.
It is time for our weekly visit with the Cubs outfielder, Ian Happ. He joins us on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. He's also on Twitch. You can watch at twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. Freshly rested off of one of the 2 off days this week. Ian, what's it like having 2 off days surrounding that Dodgers series in the middle?
It's nice. This is the advantage of going to play in Japan early. We got a bunch of off days in April and a bunch of time to rest up. I think we got something like 3 Thursdays in a row, plus that Tuesday off day or Monday off day yesterday, so it's been nice.
What do you do with all the off time this early in the season? I mean, how are you enjoying the off time?
It's great. It's just recovery. I think it's just you get some time to get the body back under you, and it's nice for, you know, our pitching staff and our bullpen. You know, gives counts the ability to use guys knowing they're going to have a couple extra days.
Ian, we just got done with a segment where I know you guys get tired of hearing about stats and projections, but these are pretty good. How do you feel about hearing about some good stats?
As far as the World Series stuff that came out.
So you've heard about it is what you're telling me. The word on the street is out.
Yeah, I mean, it's early. You know, that it's great. It's nice that people believe in us, but it's the middle of April. I think these type of projections and predictions, they don't mean anything.
Okay. So the 97 wins is also something where you're not saying to yourself, oh, here it is or something. Like, I just thought it was a nice way of complimenting what you guys have done in a way, if that makes sense.
I mean, we definitely feel good about the start of the season. Definitely feel good about where we're at. Winning series is always positive. I don't think that the players care much about the projection, I'll tell you that.
Okay, maybe not the projection, because that's, you know, what's to come. You can't really, you can project, but you can't predict per se. But what about this stat in particular? So far, your team has faced opponents that have a combined 629 winning percentage. Your remaining opponents have a 462 winning percentage. So you faced the toughest schedule in all of baseball by a wide margin. And now you have the easiest schedule by the numbers by a bit of a margin. Are you happy that you've gotten through this slog of a schedule to start? You knew what April was going to be.
Yeah, like I said, I think we've been playing some really good baseball. And we've been doing it in a complete way. We've been doing it in different ways, whether that's the offense showing up and putting up a bunch of runs, whether it's base running or defense or great starting pitching or some great appearances from the bullpen. You know, we've done it in a bunch of different ways. I think we still have, you know, we got the Dodgers, we got the Phillies coming in, we got tough teams continuing. And it's all about when you play teams. It's all about how you line up with them. You could run into a team, and I think that, you know, continuing to do that throughout the season, scoring in different ways and being as versatile as we can.
I talk about regular season games that you're going to remember. I feel like as a fan or somebody watching, it's always a game like what happened on Friday. You know, it's a wild comeback. You have no idea what's going to happen. What was being in that game like? You've been in a couple of those, but that one was pretty epic.
Yeah, that was a pretty big roller coaster. You know, I think just getting up to that lead, giving up 10 in one inning, and the resiliency to for the offense to stay in it and know that we had a chance, know that the wind was blowing out, and if we just got some traffic going, we had two shots at it to get back in that game. And so, you know, being able to get it all back in the eighth and have Press come in and do what he did, I think it also speaks to just like how good of a pitching performance Colin Ray had to keep the game under control there for the first five innings. And then what Press did when he came in the game late, like after seeing all those runs go up and knowing the wind's blowing out like that, to have that clean inning that he did was really impressive.
It's actually quite remarkable that the two starting pitchers on Friday got through that thing mostly unscathed, and that it was a 2-1 game heading into the bottom of the seventh inning. Ian, I'm curious, because you just talked about conditions like Friday and then conditions like Sunday, completely at the opposite ends of the spectrum. What are your ideal conditions for a ball game at Wrigley with the wind situation and everything else?
Yeah, wind blown out at 100. That's my ideal condition. Take that one every day. Pitchers get plenty of days where the wind's blown in. I'll take the ones where it's blown out.
Okay, that's good. That's good to know. Going forward, looking at this matchup with the Dodgers, you're only seeing them for two games. It's technically, I guess, the continuation of your home games with them in Japan. Are you happy to be through this portion of the NL West schedule this week, where you won't have to see the Dodgers, the Padres, or the Diamondbacks anymore in the regular season, at least?
You know, I think we were going to play them at some point. It's a part of it. You know, this will be 6-7 against the Dodgers, I guess. So, you know, we've done a good job. I know that we haven't won every game, but we've been in them all. And you're going to have to play all these teams. You know, there's been a lot of talk about the schedule and, you know, playing the NL West this much and everything. You know, whether it was going to be in April or it was going to be in September, we were going to get these games. And I feel like we've done a good job of stacking up and staying in them. And so, you know, the approach doesn't change. It's not, you don't take a deep breath after April. You know, you keep going, keep playing good baseball.
I also just like how you guys have persevered in trying and just sticking to a plan of manufacturing offense. We've talked to you a lot about stolen bases, but the clip that the team is on right now, and it's okay if you get caught stealing every now and then, you know, when you're seeing the overall numbers, it just helps manufacture offense. We've talked about creating chaos on the base paths. What can you say about like how you guys have been able to steal so well so far? I feel like it's added a lot of element when it comes to the offensive production.
Yeah, I just think we have some guys that are really, really good at it. You know, I think John Birdie's has a history of being a prolific base stealer. Obviously, Pete's speed and what he's been able to do. Nico's been unbelievable at it throughout his career. So you have guys in the lineup who are exceptional at stealing bases. And then you have the next tier guys that are able to do it when there's an opportunity. And I think that it's a mix of being intelligent with it and understanding, like, I'm hitting in front of Kyle Tucker and Saya, and so I don't need to take that many bags. You know, if there's a situation where it makes sense to try to get to second in a two-out opportunity or something like that, you know, you take your shots, but also, like, let those guys hit doubles and homers and drive me in. So, and there's another part of it that's, hey, we're facing a tough pitcher, the wind's blowing in, situation dictates that we have to go get this base because that's how we're going to generate offense. So understanding the situations, understanding when there's opportunity, and I think we've done a really good job of that, and that's why you're seeing that we're stealing a lot of bases, but we're doing it at a really high clip, and that's an important part of it.
The base running and just the offense in general has been so good, more runs scored per game than any other team in the majors. I'm curious, with you just mentioned Ryan Pressly and the performance that he put on Friday specifically, and he seems to have settled down after a couple of shaky outings as the closer. To see the changes that have happened as they try to address the bullpen issues, guys being sent up and down, I know that's something you're familiar with and kind of accept over the course of a major league season, but is that at all jarring when you are playing winning baseball and to see guys coming in and out? We know Jordan Wicks just got sent back down to Iowa.
No, it's normal. I mean, it's part of a 162 game season. Unfortunately for guys that are relief pitchers, like, that's a big part of the game. And guys are up and down a lot in that position, whether it's performance or injury. You know, I thought Wicks did a great job. I thought he threw strikes on Friday, didn't get the best result, and then he did a great job of keeping us in that game Sunday. Not easy when the runner starts on second base. He didn't let up more than one run in those innings, and that's all you can ask for from that situation. He did a great job. He's going to be a big part of this team throughout the course of the season. He has been in the past, and he will be moving forward. I was really impressed with what he did. And there's going to be a little bit of turnover in the bullpen. That's part of it. But I think we have the guys down there to get the job done, and you know, I believe in our ability. I believe in Hotovy and what the pitching staff and pitching department can do down there. And you've seen the starting pitching be fantastic, and you know, bullpen's going to be good for the rest of the year.
Do you like the extra inning setup with the Manfred man, ghost runner, whatever you want to call it, on second base to start an inning, or would you rather traditional?
I love it. We actually had this was our hot take from Danny Mueller on the podcast this week. He did not love it. Some people want to see traditional baseball. You know, I think it's good for the game. I think there's an excitement element to it. You're not seeing games go as long, which is keeping guys on the team. It's keeping engagement. You know, that's a situation in that game. I think it was 1-1 going into the 10th there. The chances of being able to hit a homer to score a run there are slim to none. And I think we could have been playing baseball for a really long time. And then you get a guy in second base, both teams score in the 10th, and then you have, you know, some bad luck for us in the 11th. But, you know, there's excitement and something to watch, and I think that it's been a great change.
Speaking of that, I love Danny. So if you want to listen to him, of course, Ian hosts the Compound Podcast, which is now a part of Odyssey Sports. New episodes drop each Wednesday with the latest discussion on the Cubs and baseball. I will listen to that hot take. Download and listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. I also need you to give me a scouting report on a pitcher we saw on the mound this weekend, Ian. He's 6'1". He was in jeans, slender dude, but had a heck of a windup. What did you think of Ben Johnson's first pitch?
I thought it was pretty impressive, you know, sinker right over the heart of the plate. It was great. I got to meet him briefly and his family they looked like they were having a great time, excited to be there, excited to be in Chicago, and just feels like he's really embracing the city and excited to be a part of it, which is always fun to see.
We were a little shocked he didn't stick around to sing the seventh inning stretch, but hey, but each of his own, if he's not a karaoke kind of guy, I understand it. I respect it. Back to what you said about the traditional rules versus, you know, getting things going. NFL draft is Thursday. I'm assuming since you're off, you're going to be paying attention to what happens in the NFL draft. Two questions. What do you want to see there in the first round? And also, does that mean you like the college football playoff rules better than the NFL overtime rules?
True. Yes. I'll answer the second question first. I do think the college football rules are more exciting. As far as the draft goes, trust the Bears staff. Go get them. Believe in you.
Okay.
Love the scouting report. This segment is brought to you by almostfreeteeth.com. You can save on dental implants today. What's the latest going on with Connect Roasters? And if you have any charitable efforts, of course, we always want to hear about those, Ian.
Yeah, Connect. We just got our cold brew cans in Wrigley again. We're excited. They're down in the clubhouse and they're going to be on the website soon. We have the canned cold brew, and then we have the coffee shandy, which is the half coffee, half lemonade. People are loving that, and so we're excited to get that out to everybody and have people drinking it again.
Certainly, we appreciate you joining us to talk about not only the Compound Podcast, the latest with Connect, but just the way the Cubs are playing. I think everybody feels pretty good right now, and you guys have to feel pretty good as to how the season's going, especially given the competition.
Yeah, we're excited and feel good about the spot. A lot of baseball left to play, but it's been a good start for the Cubbies, and we'll keep it rolling.
I can't wait to ask you about these projections next month. But at least I like I do like asking you about good stats, Ian. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, appreciate it, guys. Have a good one.
All right, thanks, Ian.
That was Ian Happ on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. And the interview with Ian Happ is brought to you by Finishing Chicago. Great finishes start with contractors from FinishingChicago.com. Good stuff from Ian Happ for sure. We have High Noon next, and I think I have another buried treasure story. I'm sorry. I keep getting these buried treasure stories, but they're inspiring, and I like to read them.
I'm working on a story, but apparently my email's not working right now, the one that I wanted to pull up. So hopefully by the time, I don't want to promise you something that's not going to be delivered, but hopefully by the time we come back, everything's good.
Well, also, I would like to thank our score listener, Mike, for taking a picture from the Topgolf Naperville.
Oh, my goodness.
Since Marshall didn't. Somebody had to do it. Mike, I salute you and thank you.
I messed up, okay? I slipped. If I ever get back out to Naperville, I will make sure to stop by the Topgolf.
My favorite part was where you were like, oh, I saw a Topgolf and I was in Naperville. And I'm like, you saw the Topgolf Naperville?
I thought there was more than one Topgolf around here. I don't know.
Where do you think we are? Someplace with vast amounts
of
land?
A city with 3 million people is what I think.
Right, but the land part. The land.
There's land up north.
All right, let me tell you
Arlington Heights has some land.
Let me tell you about somebody who clearly acted like they lost something and we're trying to find it. That's next.
I'll be back this way on Monday. We'll settle this then. Right there, out in the street, in front of the Palace Saloon.
Yeah, right. When? High noon?
Maybe high noon.
It is kind of high noon. We do it every day around this time. We have had a lot of fun talking about football. We started with some possible draft trade news. Yep, that's where we're at. There's not been a trade, so we're going to talk about some possible draft trade news. We had a great two segments of Who's Your Guy. We will do it again tomorrow. If you missed your shot, it's okay. You can leave a voice message on our Odyssey app on the Meatball Machine. You just say your name, then you say your guy, and then we'll play it and respond. So just keep in mind that you've got that option. Ian Happ joined us. We talked about some awesome Cubs stats. Then we talked about the awesome stats with Ian Happ, but he was skeptical. I mean, I get it. He's the one playing baseball and all, so he's allowed to have his opinions.
It's a long season.
But I'm like, hey, you guys are awesome. Here's some stats. And he's like, but wait. And I'm like, I don't want to wait. And that was the conversation.
Sounds all right.
I mean, it wasn't all the conversation, Robbie. Okay. And the first thing I thought of was the Aaliyah song, Try Again.
If at first you don't succeed.
First you don't succeed.
Pick yourself up and try again.
You can dust it off and try it again.
Okay. Try again.
The point is try again. Because here's what happened. I don't know if this guy lost something or what the concept was.
I lose things all the time.
don't we all? My algorithm is set to buried treasure, and I'm okay with this because the ending of the story is always awesome. Somebody finds something. That's why it's in the news. A man spent 6 years searching the same farm and finally discovered a 1900-year-old Roman treasure. 1900 years. He spent 6 years doing this. Was that his hobby? Like, how do you explain this to people?
Why was it at his farm?
Did he drop something?
I'm so confused. Keep going.
Right. Like, what is the cause of this, I wouldn't say wild perseverance, but something like it. Obsessive, perhaps?
I was going to say wild goose chase, but he found it, so that throws that out the window.
Needle in a haystack is really the
metaphor
here.
Oh, because it's at a farm. Yeah.
A metal detectorist from England spent 6 years searching a single field before locating a rare Roman coin from 69 AD. What? Did he know?
How much is the coin worth?
Well, it's worth only $6,000. Is that worth your time?
No, it's not.
6 years searching a field for $6,000?
No, it's not.
Like, if that's the real question here, we've leveled up in the buried treasure talk. It's not just enough to find something now.
Sleep is worth my time.
Cost-benefit analysis, right?
Yes.
Does it matter that the coin was the only of its kind in the British Isles? And it features one of the emperor's Olus Vitellius. I'm sorry if I don't say that right. I'm not big on the Latin part of this discussion.
I did not take Latin in high school either.
Latina est mala. That's what they say. Latin is evil. Ron Walters is 76, and he unearthed that coin. He spent 6 years scanning the same fields until he discovered it.
But he's retired. He's got time. I don't have that kind of time. I'm not retired. I got to work.
Even if
I
were retired, wouldn't I want to do something else? Like, the farm isn't even bearing fruit. You're just scanning the same field over 6 years?
For a hunk of metal. Might as well be the trophy.
Like, I need to know the origin story here. Did he drop something? Did somebody tell him that it was there? Did he just listen to this Aaliyah song on repeat?
I would. Aaliyah's great. She was going to be my wife, but someone beat me to it.
Yes, he did.
I'm saying someone beat me to it. I was in college. I was like, oh, Aaliyah, yeah.
We all knew what was up when they wore matching clothes on MTV.
Well,
outfits was a little bit wild.
Age ain't nothing but a number. Throwing down
too.
Ain't nothing but a thing.
And like, how did we all know the rumors if we were not connected? Like, how did I, growing up in Texas,
I grew up in Alabama and knew what was it?
And Chicago knew, and yet we were not connected by the internet. All we had to go off of was the matching clothes interview. I have questions.
Chicago always knew a little bit extra about R. Kelly because he's from Chicago.
What am I? Oh, I have heard some stories. Yes.
What?
It is quite the topic of conversation. But that's my point. How did we all know these things if we didn't have a way to get the information? How do we know?
We'll never know. It's like, how many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Roll Pop? The world will never know.
No. We're not done with this. He spent 6 years on this. We can spend another 2 minutes. Listen here, Robbie. So the guy who had been looking for this called it a once-in-a-lifetime find. But was it, or was it a once-in-every-6-years find? Because you had been looking for it for so long. He said, I was going to go on one Thursday and decided against it. And then he said his wife told him to... I don't know if we can say this on air. It's British slang. Bugger off and get out of the house for a little bit.
I don't think that's bad words.
I don't know. They have different bad words there. He said he was glad he did. He was out for a couple of hours and he picked up a signal. He started digging a bit, but then he lost the signal. But then he managed to get the reading again from what he called a clod of earth about 2 feet away. He broke it open and then the coin dropped into his hand.
What?
I don't understand, but he finally found it.
I feel like I have more questions than answers from this particular story.
I do too. I don't, like, here's the thing. I always say, like, the benefit of working is twofold because you're making money and you're not spending any. So maybe this was his way of not spending money, as one can be on a fixed income.
Working.
You are working. It's just, I don't know that the wage is enough, you know?
6,000 over 6 years does not seem to be good, at least not in 2025.
What's the time per hour there?
I'll do the math and get back to you on that.
I would also like to take this time to say I've changed my mind on going to Arkansas to search for diamonds. One of my friends wants to do it, and I'm like, why? It's going to be hot and miserable. Like, I don't think there are any diamonds just fine sitting around. But all of these buried treasure stories that I get, I'm now thinking it might be a good idea.
Well, you can go to Walmart, Waffle House. What else is in Arkansas? I don't know.
Northwest Arkansas?
Walmart and Waffle House seem to be places that would
Tulsa
exist.
Is nearby.
Yeah, go see a Golden Hurricane game or something. I don't know.
Yeah, that was kind of why I was against it, essentially, from the beginning.
You could go visit, Oh, wait, that's not there anymore. I was going to say Black Wall Street, but it's not there anymore. What? It's not?
Another history lesson that is valid.
Okay, is it? Can I get the last minute and change?
Oh, I thought you didn't have a story.
No, I was having trouble loading.
I spent all this time because I thought you didn't have one. No. I thought it was doing us a favor.
Okay, I've just been told by Ray Diaz I don't have time. I will give you a tease for tomorrow. Well, I don't even know if I'll do it tomorrow because I might have something better tomorrow.
I'm so sorry. I thought you couldn't find it. Okay. So
no,
I
couldn't get it to
up.
Load. But it's fine. I should have just done it on my phone like you did. It's my bad.
I save stories on my news algorithm app.
Okay. I didn't know that was a thing, but now I've learned something. And that's them telling me it's time for this segment to be over.
You should try again.
I appreciate High Noon. Well, I won't try in the next minute, but I will try tomorrow at the same High Noon time.
I'm so sorry. It's I thought good. I was helping you out.
No, I enjoyed learning about the treasure that got hunted at a $6,000 over 6 years rate.
I think it was too much.
I agree with that assessment.
We have some more buried treasure.
Oh,
it comes
goodness.
From Hallis Hall.
Ben Johnson, what are you doing?
Ben Johnson is, I feel like it's like back in school. Throws out the first pitch, and apparently there was some classwork in the English department. That's next on the score.